Woods. I'm Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kate.
And today, you guys, we have another Jessica. We have on the podcast today with us is our friend Jessica May Cortez, who we know from the ACFW conference. She's also another writer. Jess, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Jessica.
Yeah, so I am a writer, just like the two of you. I write contemporary romance. I do social media and marketing as the non-writing job. And I live in New Jersey with my husband. We've been married for 8 years. And I'm a plant mom. I have about 20 plants in my house, so I'm a little obsessed with plants. So that's me.
I love that so much. I have two plants, and I am lucky both of them are still alive, but it's only because they're succulents, and I don't have to remember to water them all the time.
I have no plants.
Oh, so Jessica also, well, she hails from Southern California, but she currently lives in New Jersey and like worked in New York for a while too. So she's kind of a transplant, a New York girl.
I am. Yeah. I've lived in a lot of places. So I feel like I don't really know where home is, to be honest with you. So I guess home is wherever I'm at the moment. So it's currently New Jersey, but.
But I wanted to mention New York because our topic today is, I think so many people are going to be so shocked by this, but it's going to be all about Friends.
Yeah.
I have been wanting to do this episode for forever, and I feel like this was just kind of the perfect time to do that. We're going to talk about our favorite Friends episodes. If you've never seen the show, it is about six friends living in New York, like going through their 20s and 30s. The season was, there were 10 seasons, and it was on NBC from 1994 to 2004, and you have heard me talk about it way too much. So today, we're going to get listen to it more.
Woohoo! This was like the easiest episode ever to prep for, because it took like 5 seconds of thought, and they were like, okay, done.
Yep. I already know my favorites. And then part of the reason why we brought Jessica in is she also is a huge Friends nerd, so We're gonna nerd out talking about Friends. So we're gonna knock it right off the bat today. Jessica May Cortez, what is your favorite Friends episode?
Man, to narrow it down to one—that's really hard.
Well, we're gonna probably get through more, but okay, give me like a top one.
I've got like 10 in my list.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. One of my very favorites. I don't know if this is number one or not, but the one where Ross is fine. So that's after Joey and Rachel start dating, and he makes fajitas and he burns his hands and he keeps saying, "I'm fine.
I'm fine.
That one is just such a good one. Such a good one. Definitely one of the top for me.
It's good. And I think people really underrate Ross. He's especially his physical comedy and the funny way that he says things. He is really funny. And I know there's patches in the show where they made him a bit whiny, but he, especially early on, he was hilarious. And yeah, stuff like that where he's doing the I'm fine reactions.
Oh,
David Schwimmer, so comedy gold. Well done, mate.
I also really loved this storyline too, because for so long, Ross and Rachel were the thing, even though they were only together for like maybe a season in total. Because it spanned over part of season 2 and part of season 3. And then there was like, that was pretty much it. That was really, they weren't together much other than that. And so for years, they've been building this up as like, are Ross and Rachel going to end up together? And this is season
9, I think.
9, it's the end of 9, beginning of 10, where they start playing around with Rachel and Joey as a couple, and it's really like there were, I didn't know how to react to that at first. I actually kind of liked that at the end, but I was like, no, Ross.
I liked it.
Ross is kind of it, but it's so interesting to see that dynamic between Ross freaking out over the fact that he's fine over Joey dating Rachel.
It kind of ties into a theme from a How I Met Your Mother episode, which was like about keeping a person on the hook. Like there's an episode where they each person in How I Met Your Mother realizes that even though they are all happy in their current state, even Lily, who has been happily with Marshall for like 15 years, has her ex-boyfriend Scooter on the hook. And every now and then when it looks like he's going to finally 100% get over her, she just tugs the hook a little bit and gives him a little bit of hope.
There is always something between Ross and Rachel, no matter what. And I loved it. One of the episodes, which episode was it when Rachel's father has a heart attack?
Yes.
And they talk about it's never off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I was just looking up some information about this episode because I want to talk about it really quick. Frank Jr. is also in this episode, which is Phoebe's brother. This is the one
he's hilarious.
He's trying to cope with the triplets.
Frank Jr. Jr.
Frank Jr. Jr. Jr.
Chandler.
Chandler's a girl! And I just was like, oh yeah, that's when that happened. So that's Phoebe's storyline. And I can't even remember what Monica's and Chandler's was at that point in time. But oh my gosh, that is such a great choice, Jessica. I'm fine. Oh, yeah. Like you can just hear him say it. I'm fine.
And just when he's sitting on the couch and the timer goes off and he's like, my fajitas! That's like part of the avatar.
Ross is comedic gold. He just knows how to hit those notes and to hit his lines and the way he delivers them. And it just, he's very funny.
Which is also why he's so good as the giraffe out of Madagascar. Very similar.
I do appreciate Madagascar for that reason. So really funny fact, I went to Chicago a couple years ago, and at the time they had an art installation all across the city where at different sculptures across the city, like The Bean, for instance, they had voices done in the character of the sculpture. But the voice, they were voiced by people who were from Chicago or had really strong ties to Chicago. And David Schwimmer did The Bean. I'm pretty sure he was The Bean. And you could, it was your phone. You pulled up your phone, and what it is he like, it was a QR code. So you scanned the QR code, and that actually like rang your phone via an internet, quote, an internet phone call. So you answered it, and it like, it was a weird answer, but it was because it was an internet call. But then it would just play the recording from then, like, hi, I'm The Bean. This is the history about me. And it was voiced in David Schwimmer's voice. I think I still have a recording of it. It was so fun. So
that's awesome.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, random side note aside. Side note aside. That's funny. Am I the only person that thinks that's funny? I don't know. Jess, I want to hear your give me good friends episode.
So we all know that I love storylines that play with alternate histories, alternate timelines, what could have been, all that stuff. I'm a sucker for time travel and all that jazz. So I love the one, now I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's something like The One That Never Was. It was a two-parter, and it was one where they explored how would all their lives have turned out had Rachel married Barry.
The one that could have been.
The one that could have been. There we go. Yeah. And so it's Rachel has married Barry, but it's a terrible marriage, and she meets Joey, who is a super successful soapy star, and is like blown away because she's obsessed with his character. This must have been around the similar time when Rachel and Joey were together in the real life, in air quotes. So she's like super starstruck with him, and he's like, oh, I get to hit on this hot fan who loves me. And Ross is still married to Carol.
Yes.
Just had a really long dry spell in that marriage, and Phoebe is kind of talking him through as he realizes what the deal is with Carol. And I love it because of Chandler and Monica, because Chandler followed his dream of being a writer. So instead of working at his soul-sucking corporate job that he hates, he is a dead broke writer who's a big failure in life, but he's chasing his dream. And Monica never got skinny. And so and they start off not together, and she's dating some Dr. Richard, and over the course of the episode, her and Chandler get together, even in this. I love it because even in this alternate universe where they both had completely different lives, they always find their way back to each other. And they were always sort of the best of friends who wound up together. So it's so cute.
And Phoebe, I love in this episode because she's so different than her normal character. This is when
that's
she,
right. She's a chain-smoking stockbroker.
Yes.
That was Liz, yes, and she has a heart attack from the stress of her job, and she goes fighting people. Yes.
I love that moment when she has a heart attack and she goes, I think I'm having a heart attack. I think she, like, yells it, I'm having a heart attack, and in just, like, an incredibly mean boss voice kind of a way. And it is the funniest thing, and she's still, like, doing work in the hospital, and it's just the most opposite of the Phoebe we know. So it's kind of weird to see her in this alternate universe where she's almost a completely different character, but yet still some of those quirks are the same.
And she renames all her assistants.
Yes, that's right. Oh, that is such a good episode. Here's the funny thing. I don't typically like those flashback episodes. They're really weird for me. And I have to admit that that wasn't one of my initial favorites off the bat, but it's grown on me the more I've watched it, so.
It's a good one.
Yep. Okay, this one's going to be my top pick. Hold on. Jess, are you still there?
Yep, I can see you now. You just froze for a second.
Okay, I figured as much. All right, well, my next pick, or I shouldn't say next, my first pick is probably hands down my favorite. It's the episode I always go to if I just want a random episode. It's the one with the embryos, which, if you're a Friends fan, you know exactly what episode I'm talking about.
Yep. I think this one was on my list. I haven't looked up the names of them, but I've got the one where Phoebe is pregnant with the triplets.
Yes. So this is the episode where she has already agreed to be a surrogate for her brother and his wife, and she is, like, waiting to go to the doctor and then goes to the doctor to get implanted with the embryos. So hence the title, The One with the Embryos. And that's such a fun storyline. But what I love about the other storyline is it's so simple, but the best ever, because it is Monica and Rachel in a trivia battle against Chandler and Joey.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's the best one of the episode.
How is that not my first pick? I love that episode.
I know it was my first pick, so I can ask the
question. Did they lose the apartment? Oh, that was hilarious. I love that whole storyline.
I think part of it is just, it's so entirely quotable, where she goes, like, it's one of those episodes where I could quote probably four lines, and there is an
Ross is the game show host. Yes. It's hilarious.
He's really funny. I love it even in the beginning where they're like, well, we're going to have a trivia battle and, you know, we'll ask Phoebe to do it. And Ross is going, no, I want to do it. Even though he, like, just turned it down a second ago. And he gets super into it and, like, makes categories and pulls out a lightning round at the end just to
be like, who wants to be a millionaire? They're so intense. Yes. And they're all screaming and chatting. I love any show where the people get way too into some kind of game. It's always cracks me up so much.
One of my absolute favorite lines comes from that episode, and it's just, No! I don't even know if you can consider that a line, yeah. But it's just the moment where Monica realizes that they lost. It. And they lost big.
Yeah. And the boys sail into the apartment. This might be the next episode, riding the white dog.
I think it is later that episode. Because, yeah, they come in riding Joey's old white dog on the little rollers.
Yeah.
You're ruining moving day for us. It's not your moving day. I'm not moving.
Speaking of the reason why that one was on my list. Hmm.
I was going to say, speaking of when they play games, I love it when Joey's auditioning to be the game show host.
Oh,
and
yes!
He has Chandler interact with him.
Bamboozled! You've been bamboozled!
And then Chandler's and then Ross play it first, and then they get into it, and then he's just like, I love this game!
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
And I love how Joey's like so, like, he has game show voice on, and it's the best thing ever. I don't know why I love it so much, but it's like, Joey's like, and I should know that.
The reason why I love the one with the embryos is because I forgot about the whole game show bit. I do love that. But all I could remember was that everybody was fighting like cat and dog, and you thought, how are they ever going to stop fighting about this? And then Phoebe stumbles out of the bathroom and goes, I'm pregnant. The test was positive. And they all stop and hug. And I love that moment. It's so cute.
And then as soon as that happens, they're like, well, this can't be good for the baby. So she steps out of the hug. I don't think it's that big of a deal, Phoebe, but okay. I remember her coming back. And she sits upside down on the chair to be like, well, I just have to let gravity do its work.
Oh, yeah.
Which totally got me. And then the next best part is when she stands up and she gets a head rush. And she's like, whoa, that's where all my blood went. Like, well, duh. It is seriously one of the best episodes of all time. The one I go to all the time. And, like, the arguments between them. It's Chandler Bong! Actually, it's Miss Chandler Bong.
Oh, man. I also love it because it shows how well they all know each other, which I just love when you see the history between old friends.
Except for no one knows what Chandler's job is.
Yes, I love that too. Those kind of running jokes, they crack me up. They did the same thing with Barney and How I Met Your Mother. You don't find out what Barney's actual job was until like the last season.
It's so weird. Something to do with numbers and transponding. He's a transponster.
And the one where he's you never really know what he does at work, but you know he works with numbers in some kind of corporation. And there's one where he's like shouting down the phone about the weenus.
Yes.
However many times he says, that it's so funny.
I'm looking at the weenus and I'm not happy or something like that. Yeah. Weekly estimated internet usage systems. There, I got it. I remember that. All right, it's time for us to move on. We can talk about that one for a while, but Jessica, give us another one.
So another one, and I know, as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, maybe this one was number one, but the one where everyone finds out that Monica and Chandler are dating.
Yes!
That was on my list. I
absolutely love that one, and it's because the back and forth with all of the characters and how they're playing like those jokes on each other. But my favorite line is when Phoebe says, but they don't know. We know they know.
They know.
And that part just gets me every time.
We know. I forget how many they's and we's and no's are in the order of them, but it's so great.
And
they do it so straight-faced. The bloopers must have been ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I wonder how many times it took for them to do that. What cracks me up with that episode, though, is when Joey has to keep on taking the fall and covering for Chandler and Monica. And they're like, why would you do that, Joey? Why would you keep the underwear? And he's like, I don't know. I'm a sick, disgusting person.
Yeah, that whole storyline. That whole storyline from the episode where Joey finds out, because it's a few episodes where finds out, and then it's a couple more episodes, and then Rachel finds out.
Oh,
and then
his face when he finds out was gold.
Yeah, that is one of my all-time favorite Friends moments. But the one, oh, that's a good choice. Oh. I want to ask Jessica, what's like, if you could pick one moment out of that episode, what's the moment that just makes you laugh the most?
The part where Phoebe is like, but they don't know, we know they know. Part right there, that gets me every time. Just like how her mind works, and I don't know. I just absolutely.
And it becomes a runner through the whole episode. Like, I think about three different people say it by the end of the show.
And every time it gets funnier.
Yeah.
I love, and this is my all-time favorite Ross moment physically ever, because there's a few other moments that I like him better in, and he's funnier. But this one in particular, the physical comedy when Phoebe finds out because they're looking through what is to become Ross's apartment. So they're just checking out that apartment. And Phoebe sees Monica and Chandler in some sort of undress we don't see, but some sort of state. And they're across the street and she sees them through the window and she's, my eyes, my eyes! Chandler, what are you doing? And then Ross comes in. Well, Rachel calms her down and tells her, I know Joey knows, but Ross doesn't know, so you have to stop screaming. And at that moment, Ross walks in, and they somehow pivot him away from looking at the window by asking them to come join them and screaming and jumping up and down. And it is, to me, the funniest Ross moment of physical comedy there is. Because he's so good at physical comedy, but that is like one of the funniest.
Because he starts jumping and screaming with them. But that whole episode, Ross was super funny because that's the one where he had his rage issues because he's going through his divorce with Emily and he had a big rage fest at work over someone eating his turkey sandwich with the gravy and the extra slice of bread. And then he's just started to deal with it and tell everybody that he's fine. And then they do cover for them at that point. But then after he stops screaming, at some point he does spot Chandler and Monica through the window.
Very end of that episode.
Yeah. The more they talk, the more he's like, this is not helping my rage issues. that was good stuff. Well, my next one is, I'm kind of cheating. I'm just saying any episode, because this actually is two different ones, where Joey kisses Phoebe or vice versa, because there was one where Joey and Ursula date, but Ursula is being a real tool to Joey. He actually does care about her and she's just using him. And so Phoebe pretends to be Ursula and gives him a nice sweet breakup and kisses him goodbye. And then Joey realizes after that who she really is, but they both kind of carry on the charade for each other's sake. And it's such a sweet moment. Those two are such good friends. And I love Mike, so I didn't want Phoebe and Joey to end up together, but you kind of always knew that if something happened to Mike, then they were always kind of good backups for each other. They were just really good friends. And there was another one where Phoebe was talking about, I think it's the one where she realizes that she's not 30, she's 31. And she's lost a whole year of her life.
Yeah.
And she's like, what have I done with my life? I had all these things I wanted to do. And she had this bucket list and one of them was have the world's greatest kiss. And so Joey turns around and kisses her and he's like, well, there you go. You knocked one thing off your list.
And I'm one third Portuguese. So there's that.
Too sweet and funny.
I think that was what it was. They're like, I also want to be kissed by a Portuguese man or something like that. And Joey says something like, I'm one third Portuguese. So there's that too. Like, see, and this is so funny because Jess and I have both talked about how Joey is the actual hero of Friends. Like,
according to Hannah.
Okay, I thought we had agreed upon this, but whatever. Well, he's just the one that's like the kindest and most self-sacrificing, like when Phoebe got pregnant and he gave up meat And I'm like, that's like real love. Like, he is the true hero of Friends. And that would be one of those moments where he's sacrificing by kissing, which doesn't make any sense if you know Joey.
He's very sweet when it comes to his friends. I think the reason why they had to make him so sweet is because he's such a douchebag to women, and they had to counterbalance that by making him incredibly loyal to his friends.
Yeah, there is that.
My favorite has always been Chandler, but we agreed to disagree on it.
See, and here I like was thinking this was I we were in agreement on that. I'm kind of blown back by that. I don't know what to say. Whatever. Okay, anyway, Jessica, what were you going to say?
That there was, they did create a spinoff for Joey.
Yeah.
And that didn't go anywhere, but where he goes out to California to be an actor. And yeah, I'm kind of sad that show didn't go anywhere. I feel like that would have been super enjoyable.
I think I saw at least a season of it when it came out, but I think now everyone's disowned it and it's no longer considered canon.
I think it was just one season, right? I think so.
And he was so different. Like, it wasn't Joey anymore.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it because I kind of had suspected exactly that. I was like, no, I can't imagine watching Joey without the other friends.
Like, that's it. It was just like a whole different show. He wasn't Joey, and yeah.
And was it Marta and David? They weren't writing it, right?
I don't know. I was quite young at this time.
Marta and
I'm
David.
I'm actually surprised
Dad
let me watch it.
Oh man, so many good ones to choose from. Okay, well, I have to mention before, see if we can get this one in. The Thanksgiving episodes, plural, because they're all so good. But I think one of my all-time favorite Friends episodes is the first Thanksgiving episode that they did, which I think was in season 2, and it was the one with all the football.
It's a good one.
Really doesn't surprise anyone, I'm sure, knowing how much I love the Vikings, but I also love this episode just because of the competitiveness between Ross and Monica, who have this really weird backstory line where they were too competitive as children, and so their parents threw away the trophy just into the pond after they had gotten a little bit too competitive. And Monica brings out the, was it Monica or Ross?
I think it's Monica.
Okay. She pulls out the trophy. She'd gone into the pond. And the funny thing is, the trophy is like the most disturbing thing. It's like a troll, like nailed to a block of wood. You're like, why does this? That's not even worth saving. That's worth throwing away. That's worth getting out of your house. I think it's so funny the way, like, the girls, like, especially Rachel, who is so bad at football. I almost caught it this time. And Chandler is upset over Janice, who he had dumped or dumped. No, Janice dumped him, I think. Something like that. And him and Joey
and
are
him
fighting.
And Joey fighting, yeah.
Yeah, they're fighting over a stranger that they met in the park. Mm-hmm. And the whole episode is just hilarious. Again, it's like, it's that competitive. There's like a game involved and they're overly competitive. And that is one of my all-time favorite episodes.
Okay. That's a good one.
We have enough time to do one more round. We're going to do a speed round. So.
All right.
Go for it.
Okay, so one I really love, I watched last night, is where Ross and Rachel both have an apothecary table from Pottery Barn.
Yes!
And Phoebe hates Pottery Barn.
I love that you mentioned this too, because Pottery Barn just came out. They did a
with
partnership.
Their friend line.
And yes. I'm like, yes. I need an apothecary table. Okay. Tell us about why you love the episode.
I love that one because I just love Phoebe's reaction. Just how passionately she hates Pottery Barn. I personally love Pottery Barn. So I do not understand that anger and strong dislike, but it's okay. but I just love the part. And again, this is another Ross moment, but they're staying in his apartment. you know, watching TV, spill wine on his table, and he just freaks out, my apothecary table! Yeah.
Another great Ross moment.
Oh, such a great Ross, and I just love how Rachel just carried on this lie the whole episode with, oh, I've gone to this flea market, and just trying to keep all of this up. And at the very end, the last scene is they're standing looking in the Pottery Barn window. And then as they walk away, Phoebe realizes everything in their apartment is from Pottery Barn, but she still doesn't realize the table is from Pottery Barn. And she says, oh, at least the table was real, and walks away from the window. And I just love that part.
It was $1.50 from White Plains. Yeah, it was the old time pricing. I love how, like, completely naive she is sometimes. That's such a great episode. Oh, man, that really is. I'm, like, trying to remember every moment of that storyline. And it's, like, from beginning to end, Ross and Rachel and their love of their apothecary tables individually. And then Phoebe just, like, connects it all together with her hate of all things box store. Oh, so good. Okay, Jess. Oh,
good.
Other Jess. So,
I'm again cheating, and I am just going to say like a big category of episodes, but I'm thinking of one in particular jumps to mind. Pretty much any early seasons, like seasons 1, 2, 3-ish episode that has a big Chandler storyline in it, because I just adore Chandler and he cracks me up so much. And I remember that some of the great, especially like the Chandler and Monica moments before they were together, which I especially love because they were so cute. And I know that the writers didn't intend on getting them together. When they did, it was meant to be a 4-episode arc and that was going to be it. But mm-hmm. the audience reacted so crazily when she popped up out of the bed that in the end they decided to keep it and we're in for the next like 5 or 6 seasons. But they had built in such a cute friendship between those two already anyway, which is why the audience recognized what the writers themselves hadn't at that point, which was they were meant to be together. And I think it was the episode where Ben is born. I remember a particular moment. My old housemates and I used to have a list of funny quotes written on our fridge, and this was one of them. Chandler makes some comment about that's right, Chandler and Monica make a deal that if she reaches a certain age and hasn't had a kid, Chandler and Monica will have a kid together. And this is like the end of season 1, I think. So long, long before anything happened with both of them. And so Chandler sweetly offers the deal. And then Monica turns on him and is like, why do you think I'll be 35 and be single? And he's like, what's this? Parachute's actually a knapsack. And he like falls off the back of the chair pretending that he's falling out of a plane. And it was such a great quote combined with such a sweet moment and such great physical comedy from Chandler falling off the back of the chair. It was hilarious.
I do have to admit, that was a storyline. And even in season 4 when they're... I think it's the very first episode of season 4. Yep. Because they are at the beach. And there is this whole thing for like the whole episode where Chandler's like, well, why wouldn't you marry me? And Monica's like, it's you. It's like, you're my friend. And she said
if there was no other men left in the world, she
wouldn't
marry something. Yes.
Well, she's like, come on.
Okay.
He asked me that, if there's no men in the world, would you marry me? And I can't remember what she says, but it's like he keeps asking and she keeps turning him down. And it's so funny that at the very end of that season is when they get together, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So out of 4 seasons, who knew that that was going to happen? That was just such a fun thing.
That conversation ended because he had to pee on her because of the jellyfish. And she said, I could never marry someone who's had to pee on me. And that was the end of that debate.
I love, just really side topic. No, I love that moment. I absolutely love that moment where they're going through and they're talking and like telling the story about how Monica got peed on, got peed on, but she got stung by a jellyfish, and then the men in her life were trying to pee on her, and Joey stepped up, except he got the fright and couldn't.
And everybody else is like, they're growing ews. Like, they're like, so you peed on yourself? Ew. And she's like, well, I couldn't send that way. And then they look at Joey and he's like, yeah, I stepped up. And they're all like, ew. And then he reveals that he actually couldn't do it. And so then they all look at Chandler and they're like, ew.
That is definitely it.
The rule of threes makes things funnier.
Okay, really quick, because we're running out of time. One more Friends episode for you all, which is, I mean, kind of, again, an amalgamation of a few, but this one, oh, man, I could go for, so many. Can I just say them all? I won't, because I know we have so much time.
Do a speed round and just, like, list them off.
Well, I figure, we can always do a follow-up episode of more Friends episodes.
I think we need to.
A Friends moments, because I'm not going to get all of my favorite Friends moments in there for sure. The one where no one's ready, season three, beginning of season three, and Ross is trying to get everyone out the door for a really big event for that he was to be honored for or something like that, for dinosaurs. Again, no one cares about Ross in this event. It's just for dinosaurs. But I absolutely love it because all of the storylines just crush together in one place. And it's all just like, Ross is just on, he needs to get everyone else out of the house on time. And that is an impossible feat because Monica is having a crisis with her recent breakup with Richard.
Yeah.
So she's like, did he call? Did he mean to call? What is he like? And so she goes into her bedroom and there's a whole thing about her calling Richard and leaving a voicemail.
And it becomes his outgoing answering machine message.
Which leads to my favorite Joey line ever.
She screams no, staring at the phone, realizing that
it's sent an outgoing message. My favorite line is like, Joey, after she initially leaves the message, he's like, that wasn't breezy. That was like the opposite of the definition of breezy. That was...
Isn't that the one where Joey and Chandler are fighting and Joey puts on all Chandler's clothes and then lunges commando?
They're fighting over the chair. Who gets the chair? And then Joey, Chandler takes the cushions of the chair and Joey returns back. He's like, I'm going to do the exact opposite to you. Wait, no, that's not how that works. Chandler, and he's like, okay, what are you going to show me, my clothes? Yeah. And that's where Joey goes and gets all of the clothes. And, of course, Ross, in the meantime, is stressing. Why aren't we ready? And, of course, he's stressing because Rachel is taking forever to get ready, who they were dating at the time. And he's trying to hurry Rachel along. And the more the episode grows, the more tense his voice gets. And it's the definition of the funniest thing. Rachel comes out and she's like, I'm not going. Why are you not going? Well, because I don't want to, or something like that. And he goes, well, what can I do to get you to come? And then he has to drink the fat.
That's right. You were going to drink the fat.
And she liked that. And Phoebe's having a crisis with her dress because she gets hummus on her dress. And I think one of my favorite moments of that entire episode is Ross freaking out. And he's going, he's clapping at the same time. He goes, what gets the hummus? What gets the hummus? It's literally one of the best episodes ever.
Do you want to know something crazy about that episode?
Yes.
The entire episode is shot inside the apartment. They don't leave, and it's because they were having a budget crisis, and they didn't have enough money to create any other set that week. And so they said, "You have to come up with something that is in just one set, in just one place, the whole episode." That's what came out of that.
It was one of the best episodes ever. Like that, you don't need all the sets. You just need all of them in one house. Yep. So of course you can't do that for every episode, but that was so fun. So we're going to close off this episode, but I want to ask Jessica, because you live in New York, have you experienced Friends things in New York? Like, have you gone to the friend's apartment? Because the exterior is shot in New York. And tell me about all of New York and Friends really quick.
Yeah. So the exterior of the apartment is in New York. I have been there. And it's unbelievable. It's actually one of my favorite streets in the city. It's this beautiful, quiet street with all these historic homes and ivy growing on them. It's gorgeous. And there's actually an incredible restaurant that's below, it's like on the first floor of the apartment complex called The Little Owl. And it's like this incredible restaurant, one of the top 50 restaurants in New York, which makes it, you know, one of the best restaurants in the world. And it is delicious. And I have eaten there, and the whole time all I could think about was Ross and Rachel and every other Friends character. But yeah, it's wonderful. So I highly recommend. The great thing is that, yeah, it's just such an iconic location. You will see tours go through with, they'll do as part of whatever New York City tour you sign up for. That's one of the stops. So sometimes you'll see a huge group of tourists out there, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. Other than that, I mean, I feel like most of the experiences seem pretty unique to them. You know, I've never left my shoe in a coffee shop or, you know, bounced on a rubber ball, like, down the block. You know, I've never.
What do you mean you haven't done that? That's just, should be like, like a New York thing. I'm just so fascinated by that. I absolutely will have to come eat at that restaurant, and I will for sure only be thinking of like Ross and Rachel and Monica and Chandler and Gunther, who can he, like, I know it's probably not this, I mean, it's not Central Perk because that's the coffee shop below, but that's like so cool that there is a restaurant below.
Oh, it's awesome.
That is pretty awesome. And you can also go and sit in Central Perk on the Friends couch at Warner Brothers Studios
in LA.
Because I've done it.
Yes, I was going to say, I'm headed to LA here coming up in a couple months. And I think that's going to be on my list for this year.
So. You should go. The whole tour is so fun. It's awesome.
Yes. Okay, well, we should wrap this up because, of course, we've talked about Friends probably a little bit too long.
You can never talk about Friends too long.
I know, but you know, I suppose people don't want to listen to us in the car for like ever, just talking about Friends.
First, let's go around and say where we can find Jessica on social media and all of us and stuff. Where can people connect with you, Jessica?
Yeah, so my Instagram is Jessica May Cortez. May is spelled M-A-E, not M-A-Y, not the month. And then Cortez is C-O-R-T-E-S, not a Z. So find me there. That's the best way to connect with me. So.
And if you really do need to look at her Instagram because she's a photographer as well and a very talented one at that. And she posts all the cute photos from her travels and, of course, New York. So it's definitely, eye candy, Instagram eye candy of all the cool things.
Goal. So thank you. Good to know I've succeeded. So.
And Hannah, run us through your socials.
Yeah. So, sorry, Jessica, did you have any more? You had Instagram. We talked about that.
That's the best way. I would recommend Instagram. So, I mean, I have Twitter and Facebook, but I think Instagram is what I'm on most often. So that is what I would recommend to connect.
Cool. You can find me on Instagram most often too. Hannah Davis Author is where I'm at. And then also is the same on Facebook. But yeah, I pretty much live on Instagram. I visit Facebook is probably a better way for me to say it. So Jess, what about you, Miss Book Launch Girl?
Well, it depends on what you enjoy because I have different things on the different platforms. So if you like pop culture polls, for instance, this week, I think people are voting on, what did I put up? Fast and Furious, if you love or hate it. That's Facebook. And my big book announcements and stuff like that, book news, is on Jessica Kate Writing, my author page over there on Facebook. And Instagram, I am not a good photographer, but you will see some pictures of my book and different stuff on Instagram and different things I'm doing. But if you go to Insta Stories, I've been putting a lot of behind the scenes kind of bits. If I'm flicking through my book and remember, oh, this is where that joke came from, or this is where that thing came from, I've been tending to put that up on Insta stories lately. So if you go there, then you'll see that kind of thing. And you can sign up for my newsletter at jessicakatewriting.com and you get my free sassy short story, The Kiss Dare.
The Kiss Dare.
That is fun.
So really quick, Jess doesn't know I'm going to do this. I do want to ask before we go, you have officially launched your book, baby, your debut book.
I have.
And I want to know about a month after, we're not quite at a month yet, but at about a month after it launched, how are you feeling? Has it set in yet? Tell us about life after the launch.
So it's so strange, especially being in Australia, because it's going to be a little while longer until it is on the shelves in Australia's Christian bookstore is Koorong. And there's a 3-month delay between when it launches and when it gets on the shelves there. So I haven't seen it in Australia on a bookshelf yet. So it's very hard for it to feel real because it all happens online, which is super weird, which is why it's been awesome that I've had friends such as Hannah sending me photos, especially pictures of it sitting on the Barnes & Noble shelves is awesome. But also it's just gone into Target in America, which I am so excited about. But I didn't, like, deep down, I didn't think it was going to happen because I was just like, really, like, me in Target? That doesn't compute. And then I asked a bunch of friends, I was like, has anybody seen it in there? And they were all like, no, I went in and asked and it doesn't seem to be there yet. And I was like, I knew it. It's not actually going to happen. And then Hannah and another friend, Melissa Ferguson, went in and, like, they were reshelving all their shelves. And so she got the guy to look for it and he had to dig through like 6 boxes. And she sent me a picture of just my book sitting on this empty Target shelf.
That was
like,
great.
Oh, well, I guess one show has it. And then Hannah video chatted me at work the other day of her walking through Target to properly done pretty bookshelves. And there it was sitting there. In the middle of the thing.
Just,
and that's when
the Target
sunk in.
Just like a mile away from me. It was so cool, I have to say, even for me to be like, yeah, I have a friend who has something that she made on the shelf at Target. I just thought that was so cool. And being a Minnesota girl, I think that is like the highest honor is to have something in Target.
It was so cool. I was sitting at work, like, even the next day, and I was like, it's in Target. I can't believe that. It was so weird. I so wish I was over there and could, like, see it in person. But anyway, I'm going to wait a few more months for it to come over here. But it's been good. So launch was really crazy, and I was proofreading book 2, A Girl's Guide to the Outback, at the same time. And so that was an insane couple of weeks, but that is all sent off now, and so that's coming out in January. So I've had a couple of weeks to kind of rest and recharge a little bit. So I've watched a lot of episodes of The Office, a lot of The X-Files, and yeah, it's been good. I'm just starting to get to the point where I'm bored again, so I'm starting to tinker with a short story and get back into doing a few different bits of work. So it's been good.
Yay!
But thanks, everybody, for reading it and reviewing. And we had a goal to hit 50 reviews in the first week. And I'm such a person who doesn't think good things are going to happen. I was like, I'm going to get like 8 reviews. I'm not going to get anywhere near 50. And we hit it. I couldn't believe it. It's up to like, it's over the 80s now. So if anyone hasn't reviewed yet, it doesn't matter if it's a good or bad review, the more that it helps. So thanks for reviewing, everyone, and keep going.
Woohoo! Well, we're so excited for you, and it's been fun for me to be like, hey, everyone, like, look in Target or look in Barnes & Noble. She's there. And so.
Oh, and I haven't said the name of it. If you are new to story notes, it's called Love and Other Mistakes. Love and Other Mistakes, and it's about what would happen if you had to work as a nanny for your ex-fiancé.
Yep, that's the good setup. All right, folks, we are going to sign off. Thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us from New York.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. She is one of the people where if there's something friends-ish, I typically tag her on Facebook and I'm like, hey, like it was, I feel like it's like you, me and Carol at this point, just have a circle of friends. Carol Moncato, who also is just as obsessed with friends as we are. So.
Awesome. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.